Hello, and welcome to the Warlord Spotlight on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting the Warlord series from DC Comics. In this Warlord Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing Warlord 111 to 114. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. Now, I went into this trying to remember where we left off on the last Warlord Spotlight, just because I had forgotten.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
And I read through these four issues. I do not think they were the best batch of four that we have gotten.
No, they were not.
I would almost go so far as to say they might have been the worst batch we'd gotten.
I would agree. I'm there.
It was funny because I thought there were some cases where things just kind of happen out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why is this happening? And I realized an issue later, it's like, oh, because they wanted to set that up. Or later in that issue, it's like, well, they needed that to facilitate this because that would have, I mean, came out of the blue anyways, but it would have come even more out of the blue. But that was counterbalanced by other things that were just so telegraphed.
Yeah.
And it's like, on paper, there are aspects of the overall plot, you know, this happens kind of a deal, that are both either standard Warlord or kind of make sense or whatever. But there was something about the execution in these issues that generally just wasn't working for me.
It didn't work for me either. I think parts of the story, you know how it flipped back and forth between like Machiste and Mariah and the Warlord, and then the characters,
Travis and Shakira and stuff. Yeah, yeah. The A plot and the B plot.
Yeah. And then they kind of merged with Mariah going into with Warlord and everything. Mm-hmm. But basically, that stuff was done, in my opinion, not very well. And I think there was some mischaracterization of who Mariah is.
Oh, yes.
And I was reading that and I was just like, she wouldn't do this. Is she under the spell? Oh, she's not. And that made me just feel really kind of gross about the whole story, because I'm like, this is not what she would do. This is not who she is.
There were definite aspects where certain characters were acting out of character. Mariah, massively so.
Yep.
And we had noticed she's always, if only Travis were here. Now, that, I think, went a few steps further in a really weird way.
Yeah.
But also, Travis referring to, I think it was Shakira as youngster.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
It's like, where did this come from? And it's not new to these four issues. We'd gotten that a time or two before, but it just, the feel of the characters is different.
Exactly. Everything fell off when I was reading this to the point where I was like, did I skip some issues? Did something happen here? That's the feeling you have. I feel like I'm reading a different story than what I've been reading up until this point. That's how jarring it was.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly the fact it's a different writer at this point is very obvious.
Yes.
But while we're getting those, does he really know the characters or not? We're also getting callbacks to like when Mariah gets a new sword.
Yeah, that was weird.
She goes to the same sword maker that she and Travis had gone to back in Warlord 7. There's a footnote telling us this.
Yeah, that's so long ago. Oh my God.
What's wild?
Yeah.
I think the Swordmaster is younger now.
That's insane. Okay, now there is some time stuff, but that doesn't make any sense.
He's got red hair in issue, I think it was 112, where we see him.
Yeah.
Back in 7, because I did look.
He looked. Okay, so how did he look back in issue 7?
White hair and looked a bit older and a bit more out of shape.
If time only worked that way, I would be a happy man.
I'd be ecstatic.
Exactly. Oh my God, that's weird. That's bizarre. So they reference the issue, but draw it incorrectly or didn't loop the artist in.
Colored incorrectly at the very least.
Yeah, colored or something.
And it could have just been that. I'm willing to chalk up the physique, which isn't radically different, to just, okay, it's a different artist. It's Ron Randall versus whoever it was back then.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been Mike Grell back then.
Mike Grell.
7, yeah.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre. There's some massive callbacks. So you're like, he must know, or the editor knows about this stuff that happened. But then when you're reading the story, it almost seems like the writer doesn't really know who the characters are, which is just, it's baffling a little bit.
Or where he's going. Because the sword she replaced is the one she lost just a few issues ago from 106 to 108, according to the footnote.
Yeah. So weird.
So why ditch it just to recreate to get a new one? And the original was very expensive. Here, she doesn't seem to have any problem paying for it.
Yeah. there's stuff in here that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with Fleischer. It's very weird. He's wanting to tell these stories and why, I don't know. And it's like he doesn't know the character. He doesn't know the property that well. He just wants to dip in and dip out on whatever he wants to tell. And frankly, it's not very enjoyable.
It's all over the map is, I think, part of the problem for me.
Yeah. Halfway through the story, I'm checking out. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? I feel like I'm reading something incorrectly or out of order or something. I'm not, but that's the feeling I got.
I got done with the first of the bunch here, 111, and there was zero mention of the quest to save Jennifer.
Yeah, nothing. Zero.
And Travis's quest or Morgan's quest, whatever they were calling it a few issues back, that was on the cover. That was a big deal.
Yep.
And he's still on there, and it's not even mentioned.
Yeah.
Jennifer's not mentioned. Tara's not mentioned much of anything beyond the current adventure that Travis and Kira's having and the one that Chase Day and Mariah are having. It's just an in-the-moment kind of issue.
Yeah. You're dealing with these, for lack of a better term, mermen who kind of kidnap the pair of them and their little adventure. How do we escape? That's it. Nothing that happens with Jennifer. Nothing to progress that at all.
The only thing, if you had skipped the Travis Shakira side of the issue, is you would wonder why they had flight belts from the previous issue and this underwater patrol sled thing at the end of this.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing else.
And you could cover that with a line of dialogue of, well, those didn't pan out. I'm glad we were able to get these in exchange for them or something.
Yeah.
But the Machiste Mariah subplot, on the other hand, Machiste actually regains his kingdom. That's a major plot point for him.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I was really digging the Machiste and Mariah angle on this thing until they took Mariah and did what they were doing with her. But yeah, Machiste coming back into power, and that was kind of fun. That was pretty enjoyable. I liked it.
Yeah. I think with 111, the main plot you could skip. The subplot is where most of the stuff was.
Yeah.
I think with 112, that's where the stuff with Mariah goes completely off the rails.
Yep.
The getting a replacement sword for the one she just lost. She's suddenly madly in love with Travis, but he only has eyes for Tara. So she turned to Machiste, which puts a really weird spin on the events of the last, I don't know, 50 issues in that respect. Probably longer.
Throws it out the window. We're not going to deal with that anymore.
Well, it doesn't throw it out the window, but it really makes it seem like Machiste was the rebound. But for how long?
For years. Years. It makes no sense. And she's all of a sudden madly in love with him to the point that she's going to go with this, for lack of a better term, witch.
The witch came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Here, you must take this amulet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, why? And then I realize, oh, it's to motivate the next story.
Yep.
And it was a thump, here it is. But then Mariah goes to some guy for help doing something. And I read that scene and I'm like, who is this guy? And what the hell does she want out of him?
Exactly. That's where I was. I was feeling confused at that point. I was like, what does this have to do with anything? When you're reading that, it just doesn't make sense.
She can pay him, but it's like, why?
Exactly.
All of the context was missing there.
Yeah, it's like something got edited out or something got scrunched down or cut in the wrong way. It's almost like they had a film and they cut out a critical portion in the editing room and we're missing a part of the story, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm confused. And when I feel confused, I get frustrated with the story. So I was feeling frustrated.
Now, what was your take on the Travis Shakira plot line in that issue where Shakira is apparently getting confused for Princess Orana, who's a dead ringer for her?
That was bizarre. It was fine, but it was really weird that she's kind of like a stand-in for the princess while Travis is out there trying to save the real princess, I guess.
He has been captured by the princess's guards.
Yeah.
Them thinking he was the captor.
Yeah.
And Shakira's like, no, he helped me escape, because she plays along with this, I guess, because she can. But we never even get a thought balloon or anything indicating why she's doing that.
It didn't make any sense why it was going on.
But Travis happens to spy one of the guys in the palace who darts off and notices later that he's darting off again. And it's like, this seems a little squirrely.
Yeah.
And those are the guys who were behind the kidnapping of the princess. So he decides to go follow because of course, I guess. Normally, he's got to see the girl to go rescue the girl.
Exactly. It was really weird. It was clumsy and it didn't make a lot of sense what was going on.
I think to your point, the script for this, somebody lost a page or two of it and that had some of the key plot points or something.
that's what it felt like. So I just read this and I was mentally checking out this issue, certain parts of the story, because I was like, this is weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And when that happens, I lose interest. I check out mentally.
Yeah, I came out of this issue with things are happening, but the story logic and some of the characterizations are just off.
Yeah, very bizarre. And it was just really weird. And then the next issue, when they showed that Cyclops, did you think what I was thinking? You're like, Cycroth is back from the the Atlantean people. But it was like, I guess the same race as him. It wasn't himself.
Actually, I wasn't thinking that.
Oh, you weren't thinking that. I was thinking it.
We'd gotten other Cyclopses before, and I guess I hadn't paid attention to these having the horns or whatever.
Yeah, we got these a long time ago. And then Cycroth, I remembered that dude when I think it was Machiste and him fought at one point. I can't remember.
The guy you're talking about is the one that caused Jennifer to age.
Exactly. That guy.
So these guys were brought in to spark the flashback to reintroduce Tara and Jennifer to the story because they've been out for a little bit.
Yep. I remembered. I was like, oh, I saw this guy before. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's a whole bunch of them. And I was like, oh, it's not the same guy. And then it goes right into Jennifer. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going back to that.
And then the other Cyclops is... they get fought off or whatever, and it just doesn't matter. But then we get the introduction of this wizard guy.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I'm like, who the hell is he?
Exactly.
There are ways to introduce new characters that it's like, oh, we haven't met them, but we're getting introduced. But here, it's like this whole page on him felt like a complete non sequitur. It was setting something else up. And then to wind up revealing later who he is, who had been set up earlier, and I'm like, well, I never connected that.
Nope. You felt like the wrong page of a comic was stuck in here by accident. It went to the printing press and you got the wrong comic the way it was introduced.
Or at the very least, the pages were out of order. Something wasn't right.
Yeah, something's wrong. And the other thing that was super weird is they put in that because it's taken so long. You know, he hasn't dealt with the Jennifer. Remember the rapid aging thing?
Mm-hmm.
She froze at age 100. But they kind of did a tweak as far as like it's expanding to other things, the aging process.
Yeah, when we find out Jennifer's aging has stopped.
Yes.
The next time we get back to Tara, who is there feeding her and whatever, it's now a matter of there's this aging plague out there.
Exactly.
Which goes against the sudden burst of energy that caused Jennifer to age because of the Wizard King or whatever.
Exactly.
Even between just this issue, it felt inconsistent.
That was so weird because I was like, they were literally having a magical battle and he hit her with whatever that made her age, the explosion of power. No, there was no like the expanding aging bubble going out wider and wider and impacting the animals and stuff. And I'm just like, what are we doing? That would have hit Travis at some point. That would have hit some other people that were around her. And they did this to maybe explain why she's not dead yet, but they made it worse. It's almost like he didn't read the story and he just wanted to do his own thing.
And it may have been, I think it was actually in the next one that Tara goes and explores this growing aging plague.
Oh, yeah, that's next with the dinosaur. She looks
at
it.
The dinosaur aging to death and then turning to dust or bone or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm like, if you're watching it and saying it's happening fast enough, you can follow it with the eye. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah, just leave. It was just so bizarre. There were so many things where I felt like, it was just some random guy, and they told him some plot points. They said, hey, here's what's going on in the book. This lady's getting old. It's the daughter of this guy, blah, 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 blah. And he just took that, completely game of telephone, not getting any context,
mm-hmm.
and ran with it. Almost like the telephone game where everything breaks down along the line of communication and just ran with it in a different direction. And I felt so off kilter that I'm like, this isn't the same comic I've been reading. Why is this happening? This is bizarre. And then it's written poorly on top of it. And I just came out of this feeling like, man, this is not good. And Mariah's not the same person. The powers, yeah. Everything is weird. Even if he's under the spell, Travis is under the spell of Mariah.
The amulet or whatever, yeah.
Making out like a teenager nonstop on the whole journey, you know, every few seconds kissing and making out. I guess he completely loses his mind because he doesn't even want to talk to anyone else. It was weird.
What bothered me the most about that was, okay, Mariah's out of character. That's been that way for a few issues. Travis is under the thrall of this magic amulet that Mariah was forced to put on from the witch or whatever. But Shakira is surprised he's fallen for Mariah because it's like, oh, he loves Tara. But if this is who wants to have an affair with, who am I to judge? I'm like, and you're okay with this?
Exactly.
This was a perfect opportunity for Shakira to stand up for Tara and build that relationship aspect that we've talked about before of Tara has been somewhat jealous of Shakira somewhat groundlessly, and this would have proven that and really built a bond between them down the line.
That was the opportunity missed. Yes, exactly. And doesn't it seem like something Shakira would do, because Shakira's out for the best interest of Travis? She's literally not attracted to him. They're companions and they're best friends. They're a cat and a guy, you know?
I almost would have had it been that Shakira could practically smell the magic on the amulet and periodically tries to take it off Mariah.
Yeah, something. Doing something to stop this, to abate it, to keep it from going on, instead of like, whatever. And you can see Tara in the future, like you said, the bond, the thanking her, you're looking out for the best interest, and then becoming almost like best friends on the side. And not best friends with Mariah moving forward, and Machiste's going to be not very happy. So I think she's on the outs at this point.
Yeah.
Based on what's happened, I don't think anyone's going to want to be around her. And when Travis, when the spell wears off and the amulet's gone, he's going to be upset with her too. No one's going to like her.
I'm curious how this all ends for Mariah.
It can't be good, it seems like.
I agree with that. I agree with that entirely.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's a way to write her out of the story with what he's done. And that's unfortunate, because we've had her since darn near the beginning.
Well, she was definitely in issue 7. That's when she first got the sword.
Yeah.
She'd been in there, I think, an issue or two already by that.
Yeah.
Because issue 7 was when Machiste lost the hand.
Yeah. I feel like these characters have been there so long, it would be sad to see any of them go.
I don't mind them going if they go out well.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus I'm making out with your boyfriend type
thing. Yeah. Taking the character, rewriting the character, reimagining the character as this lovesick girl or whatever. It didn't make sense.
It just goes against everything we've read, and it's bizarre. If this was something that was boiling from the beginning, like a love triangle, and they both liked him and kind of competed for his attention or something.
Well, it's like how Raymore was always pining after Tara, and very blatantly so.
Exactly. Yes. That made more sense than this. This is out of nowhere, and it's just completely off, and readers are probably thrown at this point. I'm thrown as a reader.
Yeah.
I can only imagine back then, you know, getting it off the shelf. They'll be like, what? What happened? Did I miss 10 issues? What happened? When did this go on?
Now, speaking of being thrown and stuff, what did you think when they cut to CIA headquarters in Langley and we get Redmond back, one of the CIA guys from the annual? Not that he's initially named here.
That was so bizarre. I wasn't expecting to see that. And it just felt out of place, in my opinion. I was just like, what are we doing here? And we're going back to the Mayan stuff.
I completely agree, because normally we're reading an issue of Warlord classically. We usually don't stray too far from Travis.
Nope.
We may get a subplot of Shakira or Mariah or Machiste or a combination of them or Ashir or whomever. But to cut out of Skartaris to Langley, of all places, is a pretty jarring jump.
Yep.
To have it be this one guy we saw in one annual a little while ago, it's both out of the blue, but also telegraphing. He's learning about Skartaris. He's trying to find out more about it. Golly, I wonder if he's going to go.
Yeah. So we know what's going to happen. It's introducing new character into Skartaris, but I don't particularly like him, and I don't know what Fleischer wants to do with him. But frankly, at this point, I'm not interested. It's a CIA agent going there, I guess. Whatever.
Well, and effectively kidnapping the photographer
in
the annual, gassing him inside of a cab.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what's not to like with this guy?
He's a stand-up fellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole thing, every time they cut to him, I was like kind of groaning, mentally groaning. Ugh. You know, I'm reading this and I'm like, I don't care for this part of the story. I know we're going to be stuck with him because Michael Fleischer's introducing him. So he has a plan to go off on some journey and God only knows what.
Yeah. What got me is when we cut away from him and they're like, we've made it to the Greenfire Sea. And I'm like, I guess this is the place they've been trying to get to for the entire quest that started back in, what, 101?
We didn't know they were trying to get to the Greenfire Sea, but here we are.
they'd made some mention at some point of trying to find some guy by some body of water.
Yeah, it was a guy. I don't remember the Greenfire Sea, but I was like, all right, so we're going to find this wizard.
I don't know if they mentioned Greenfire or not. I know they'd mentioned something.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like, is this just part of Travis being enthralled by Mariah's amulet or what? They get attacked, and then the wizard guy comes back.
Yeah, he's there again.
And it turns out he's the guy they've been seeking the whole time?
Just
really
bizarre, isn't it?
I mean, it's like these things are just flying around at random, intersecting in odd ways, and they fight off, Travis and company fight off the lying dinosaurs or whatever the hell they were. They survive, and they're like, okay. It turns out they had gotten a little help from the wizard unknowingly. These things then attack the wizard. As they are attacking, there's a 5-panel page in 113 that he's looking at the scrying pool or whatever, seeing them having, you know, survived. He's like, oh, that's good. The things fly in, attack him.
Yep.
The next panel, which is Travis and company walking to this palace they'd seen before, the caption, presently. Okay, that's right after the panel of the guy getting attacked, the wizard guy, and still standing. He hasn't died yet. They walk in, they open the door, it's destroyed. Oh, we've missed the fight by less than an hour. Less than an hour? How did you not hear it happening? It was happening presently, according to the caption.
It doesn't make any sense.
And then the issue ends with literally laughter echoing in the hallways. Ha 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 ha. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the Joker doesn't appear, but it sure sounds like he might.
It was so weird, wasn't it? I was just like, what's going on here? And then I made the mistake when we got to the last page. I didn't look at the bottom where it said, join us for a legend story.
Mm.
I did see that on the cover, and I was like, part 12? I immediately flipped back to issue 113. I was like, wait a minute, this wasn't part 11. I was like, wait a minute, a crossover? And I was lost even more at that point.
I guess what had gotten me is all of the other issues. It's not uncommon for a Warlord issue to end with a next time, this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But for this to end with a cure for Jennifer, the arrival of Desaad, join us for a Legends crossover. And I'm like, okay, Travis had made zero progress over the last 13 issues, including this one, finding a cure for Jennifer, so it's just going to drop in his lap next issue?
Yeah.
And there had been mentions by the wizard of another realm beyond the nine he knew or whatever.
Yeah.
So when he's talking about a 10th realm and we're winding up with guys from the fourth world showing up, it's like, okay, maybe somebody just can't count. I'll be flat out. Kirby is a creative genius. No argument about that. I am not a fan of the fourth world characters.
I can understand that.
I am not a fan of Desaad.
Yeah.
So with, oh, he's going to arrive next issue, I'm like, oh, joy.
Yeah.
And Legends was the first major crossover of sorts after Crisis. So they'd given everything a little time to gel, and they put together a fourth world based event where, if I recall correctly, and maybe I don't, but what I recall is that Darkseid's minions, Jigo or Godfrey or whatever, and a few others, were doing essentially a PR campaign to smear the heroes of Earth. You know, they're treated as legends. Well, let's destroy them through PR. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a great idea, but that's what they did. So when we get to 114, this is where I thought they had a horrible start to the issue.
Yeah.
The Warlord shows up to some town. They're being overtaxed. He's like, ah, oh, every man should live free. Let's attack Baron Krag.
Baron Krag, yeah. But like literally within 2 seconds, that first page, they're talking about taxing. And then, boom, they're all up in arms and attacking a castle. That was just bizarre, wasn't it?
With the Warlord on his signature horse leading them. And I'm like, wait a sec. That's not where we left them.
Exactly. I was so confused. I was like, what is going on? This is weird.
Now, the other thing that confused me before we get past the splash page there is this Baron Krag.
Yeah.
Is not to be confused with the giant crab scorpion thing, Krarg. Travis killed back in 111.
I remember that, Krarg.
I mean, the names are fairly similar. Literally, it's one character difference. If you don't have that second R, it's the same thing.
He likes that name.
I guess.
It was just weird. I'm just like, I don't know why we're here and why we're attacking a castle. It was not set up at all.
And that was the point. That was intentional. I think it was a bad idea, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, you see someone arguing over taxes and you're up in arms with no plan. Everyone just running and attacking the city walls. No siege equipment. What's going on?
Well, and Travis conveniently ducks out because his horse had picked up a stone or whatever. And he gets out and the locals get massacred.
That made it even funnier. I was like, what is going on? He gets them all riled up. Let's go fight. Then leaves them to die.
And gets paid for it. And given the quality of writing and the mischaracterizations we'd have in Mariah and a few others before, starting the issue this way was a bad move because it was plausible that the writer actually intended this. Of course, we get to the next thing, and it turns out that D'Assad has some magic hologram or disguising device or whatever.
And it's not him, yeah.
And it's not Travis.
Exactly, because I was so confused going, what the hell is going on? This is doesn't make any sense. Until you get to that page and you see he scans his face and it's not him. Boom.
But that's 6-7 pages into the issue.
Yeah. So I kept flipping back and forth. I'm like, did I skip an issue? Like, what's going on? This doesn't make any sense. Why are all the people fighting? Why is there a war going on? What's happening here?
I mean, the whole thing was a non sequitur and it really threw me for the first third of the issue.
Yep.
And I don't recall all that much about the side because, again, I'm not a big fan of those characters, but he doesn't strike me as the guy who would go horseback.
Yeah, I don't know him, but...
He's like a mad scientist type.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be riding a horse then.
And it makes as much sense as Dr. Savannah being here doing this.
That's funny.
So then we cut back to Travis, the real Travis, Mariah, and Shakira back at the wizard's place trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yep.
There's a scroll on the floor, a piece of his robe or whatever, and they're like, oh, these must be clues. There is an enchantment on the scroll. We must do the enchantment. And I'm like, fortune favors the bold, but it also punishes the stupid. And I'm not sure which side of the fence these guys are on.
I think they're on the punishing the stupid.
I sure thought they deserved it.
Me too. It was just ridiculous. They end up upside down in front of some demon. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, because they see the portal. They're getting sucked up to it. Travis is like, everybody hang on so they don't get separated. Okay, not a bad move. They wind up grabbing the wizard guy who they just now meet. He's hanging. They're dangling over a pit. And they get out of the pit through some kind of crazy acrobatics, maybe?
I guess. It just it's weird, isn't it?
Travis shoots the thing that was anchoring the guy. They're following, and it's up to Big Red, because I guess that's what he's calling Mariah now.
Yeah, Big Red.
To somehow yank them to not fall directly down in the pit directly beneath them?
By kicking her leg somehow.
Although it does look like the wizard ducks into the pit for a bit and has to get pulled out.
Yeah, it was just very bizarre. How that wizard's holding them, I don't know. That's three people he's holding with one arm. What?
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't happen. I'm calling out. It's an old guy. He's really old.
The whole thing makes no sense. Stuff is just happening randomly.
Yeah,
and
bizarre.
I was just puzzled by the whole thing. They escape. We get another thing cut to D'Assad impersonating Travis again. This time he winds up finding one of the Vakesh assassins or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I guess recruiting her?
It seemed like it.
We cut back to Redman, who's torturing a guy for information about Skartaris. Then we wind up back with Travis. They're trying to get through the portal to get back to Skartaris. The wizard sacrifices himself to save them and they land in a field somewhere.
Thought we needed the wizard, but yeah, he sacrificed himself, but whatever.
Now, I don't recall seeing anywhere in this issue that cure for Jennifer that was promised.
Nothing. They found the dude, and he's essentially toast? I don't know.
I think he's dead. He sacrificed himself, it sure seemed like.
It does. He looks like he's atomized, you know, explodes, essentially. His molecules are just dissipating. And they're left in a barren field with their arm outstretched to that smoking hole where they came through. So Jennifer's just going to die at age 100, apparently. At this point, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think she found the cure. It just wasn't on screen.
Exactly.
And we're promised next time that D'Assad destroys a legend. Sure, he might. I don't know which one. Presumably Travis, since that's the one he's targeting. Morgan returns to Shambhala, which I thought was noticeable since they misspelled Shambhala.
Oh!
They forgot the H at the end.
They did! Ha ha ha!
So maybe he goes to the wrong town. They're similarly named. It's confusing.
But the next part is the most interesting.
How will Tara react to Mariah's love? Well, Mariah doesn't love Taroth. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I came out of these issues thinking the writing is a bit off, to say the least.
Yep.
The characters, specifically Mariah, but not exclusively her, were acting out of character from how they'd been established.
Yes.
Some things were just happening out of the blue. Some things were telegraphed. Like, Redman's going to wind up in Skartaris. That's a given.
Yep.
And so much of it read like a bad soap opera.
It really did. It read like a really bad soap opera. And mixed in with a guy who didn't know what he's writing, and he was just throwing stuff into the mix and not even caring if it made sense or if it was good, worthwhile material to put into the story. Because frankly, I think a lot of what he threw in there was not worth the pages that were taken up. It was unfortunate. I think he could have written a much better story if he just would have stuck with the Jennifer thread. Honestly, this could have been the chance to meet the wizard. Here's the solution. Here's the thing. We go on the quest. And then they could have adventures going forward. But instead, he's destroyed relationships. And as far as I'm concerned, Jennifer's dead too right now. I know she's not. And I know they'll have like a writer's way of getting her out of it. But that guy, that wizard, was supposed to get her out, and he's gone. So what was the point of all this?
We're 14 issues into the whole quest Morgan started at.
Yep.
And he never seemed to make any solid progress. He almost seemed to find the wizard by happenstance.
Yep.
Versus any, I mean, he traveled, but it's not like he worked towards solving things.
Yeah.
It was literal movement with no progress, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And it's really unfortunate because I was really enjoying Warlord, and it seems like as we're nearing the end of the run, Fleischer's taking in a direction and writing parts of the story where it's not very enjoyable. And that's a little bit sad because I really love the property.
Yeah, same here. I think we're going to get some stuff later that's hopefully a bit better, but Fleischer doesn't seem to have a grasp on the heart and soul of the material, but there's enough references that make me wonder if he's read enough of the material to do some of the callbacks, or if that's something that maybe he's getting coached on from the editor or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there are moments here that aren't horrible or whatever, but it's
not what we were getting before as far as quality.
Yeah.
And characterization and knowing the characters. And it feels like he doesn't have a love for the property that we felt from the previous two writers. I mean, one created it. The other guy was a really big fan, you could tell, and just loved it.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm reading an assigned book. That's the feeling you get, which is kind of like maybe why we've fallen out of love a little bit with some modern day comics, because a lot of writers treat it as just an assignment and they don't have that deep love or knowledge of the characters. And so you're disengaged because they're disengaged. They're just treating it as like homework. Here's my thing. Give me a paycheck.
You had commented earlier that it felt like he was almost writing off somebody else's script.
Yeah.
Or notes or something.
Yep.
It does feel that way a lot.
A lot. A ton.
Now, one thing that did happen that I just double checked because I hadn't really paid attention at the time, but issue 111 was edited by Ross Andrew and Denny O'Neill.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The rest, Robert Greenberger.
Oh, so we had a change in editor. Interesting. Oh.
Yeah. Now, some of the stuff, like Mariah's love story, had already started by that point.
But now it's a completely different guy editing the book.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Maybe Greenberg doesn't know anything about this title.
I don't know. There were a couple of guys around that era that were very ubiquitous over at DC. And I'm trying to, because again, we're, you know, now 40 years past the 80s DC, so my memory of, you know, who was known for what and stuff like that's a little foggy. But there were one or two guys that seemed to be either writing half the DC books or editing half the DC books or whatever. Some knew what they were doing, some not so much.
Mm.
And I certainly recognize Greenberger's name, but trying to associate it with, you know, was he one of the guys who was also editing the Star Trek books, both the comics and the novels, or what? I just off the top of my head can't do.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, when I was a younger reader, I really didn't care who was editing the book. But as I've aged as a reader, the editor can be so critical to the outcome and the success of a title,
mm-hmm.
and just creating a quality product. I mean, they have a hand in it to make sure that things don't go off kilter, off course, where the readers are like, this doesn't make any sense. Because sometimes the original creator or the next guy who comes along, next guy or lady who comes along and picks it up, if they don't have that deep, intimate knowledge or they don't get a little bit of coaching, they can go in a bad direction a lot of times.
Well, I think the editor has to be the force of continuity on the book. And I don't mean literal story continuity, but at least thematic, directional, and is a guiding force on the property, if not the literal story.
Correct.
Because I don't think editors should be dictating the story.
No, definitely not.
But they should be acting as the guardrails of, no, the story shouldn't go there. That's not how Mariah is. Or Shakira would never just quietly play the princess for an issue.
Correct. A good editor, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure in your opinion too, would not have let this stuff happen with Mariah. They'd be like, no, she would never do that. That's not who she is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been no seeds planted along that in 110 issues. What are we doing here?
There could have been a different way for the witch to have given the amulet to Mariah, maybe after Mariah walks off, because it's, oh, just a street vendor who gave her something or whatever, as the presumed queen of Cairo or whatever. Then mentioning behind the scenes, oh, well, there's this love thing. That'll really mess her and Machiste up.
Yeah.
And then spin it that way, and she's surprised that Travis is into her or whatever. But that's absolutely not where they went.
That's not where they went. They made her out to be essentially a harlot and a relationship breaker, a marriage breaker, whatever you want to say, you know, like.
Well, it undercut her character for the last 100 issues.
Yep.
Because she's not faithful to Machiste, whom she seemed to genuinely love early on.
Yep.
And now we're retconning, nope, that wasn't the case. She's pining after Travis, and she respected him certainly, but I don't think she was a love interest originally. I'd have to go back and reread.
No, there was some slight flirting, but it didn't go anywhere once Tara came into the picture and that relationship solidified.
Tara had already been in the picture. He was already married to Tara before he met Mariah.
Okay, I'm losing it then. But there was like a little bit, but it was never materialized in anything. It was more like a light flirtatious thing. But even with Shakira, that the flirting was never there. It was more just friends.
There was some playful banter, but more in the friends and comrade in arms sort of way I took it.
Yeah.
Than love interest.
Exactly. Like a shield maiden or like a lady who's on the battlefield with him. Literally, that's who she is. That they get along, but they're not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, he already has a thing.
So I felt the characterizations have gone off the rails, and I'm looking forward to the Legend stuff being over. I don't think it was a good miniseries or event to begin with.
Yeah, I don't care for it already.
I don't know that it really tied into any of the big picture stuff other than Desaad having this side quest over here in Skartaris that doesn't seem to really tie in. I mean, there was a mention of, oh, this happened over in Legends 3, but most of what happened in Legends isn't impacting this, and I don't think this impacted most of it. And then I think it's not going to be too long before we get Power Girl showing up.
Oh, okay, so it'll be soon.
I think the next batch of issues for the next episode, we've got the other part of the Legends crossover, and then the episode after that, we'll have a recap of Warlord's Origin and Secret Origins and a few more issues, but it's the one after that, so it's after the next annual, which also has the new gods in it, yay, where Power Girl shows up.
Oh, okay.
And she's in and out of the book for 8 to 10 issues.
Okay, so we're going to get a lot of her. And I'm not really excited for that because I kind of, this is just me. I know it's tied in through Crisis and now through this event, but I really like Warlord to kind of be its own thing, if that makes sense.
I think it's way better off being its own thing.
Yeah.
By having it be part of the DC Universe proper, it begs the question of, okay, this Redman guy, mm-hmm. does he know the people over at Checkmate?
Exactly.
Do we care? No.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to be in Skartaris and then one day have Superman flying through. You know, it just messes it up.
Or his cousin from an alternate reality that no longer exists, because that's simple.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff I want to just enjoy the Warlord and his friends and his family and all the stories and fun and world building that we've had. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, and like Desaad here, everything he's doing could have just been another wizard on the rise who'd found some technology that it would allow him to impersonate people.
Yeah.
Or even simpler, it could have been the actor who had previously impersonated Travis.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think he survived.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Not a great batch of issues.
I agree. Not a great batch, but I'm holding out hope that things get better. But at this point, I'm a little bit disappointed moving forward.
It is, and I'm thinking it was this issue 114 where I had jumped on because it was a Legends crossover. I might have been reading it a little before then. I don't remember.
Wow. So you might have jumped on at the worst part.
Quite probably.
That's kind of funny. Wow. And you had no frame of reference to know that you were jumping on at a horrible story.
But because I hadn't read the stuff with the crab, I didn't recognize the name being so similar for this Baron.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't read the stuff, I didn't realize Mariah was out of character.
Yep.
That Shakira might not have done some of these things. So it read differently because I didn't have the baggage. And arguably, it read better.
That makes sense. There is something to say with when you're weighted down by the baggage of everything you've read before, you can't enjoy the story for what it is. And someone coming in fresh like you did, it might have read really well. No clue. But because we can't go back and unread what we've read.
My memory's bad enough, I kind of can, which is sad.
Yeah, give it another 6 months. Wow, this is a great story.
I mean, my experience reading what I had read of Warlord originally was from, you know, about this point forward. Then I had the period about 15 years ago where over the course of a weekend, I literally plowed through all of it. And it was reading for enjoyment, not reading for comprehension, much less reading for review.
That's cool. And that's a different type of reading.
It's like, this is fun. Let's see what happens next. And not really caring that, oh, she went to the same swordmaster. Oh, what the hell's going on with this here or something. It's just, oh, let's see what happens next. It's a fun roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I've been taking more notes. I've been paying more attention. And even though we've been doing this for a while now, that it's been, I forget how long since we'd read issue 7 where she first got the sword. So I had to go check a few things, whatever. It's a deeper read this time than certainly the other two.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
So
these were the worst issues. And that being said, well, hope things improve in the future.
Almost. How could they not?
Exactly.
We'll see. Anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.